our very special guest has arrived for mic check. Emancipated in 1838, a deal with Great Britain in 1962, the deal that some folks call independence. But are we really an independent country? 60 years later, Jamaica, the governance of Jamaica, and democracy in Jamaica. Joining us this morning is former executive director of the Press Association of Jamaica, consultant Mr. Hilton Dennis. Anthony, please introduce our guest.
Well, Rasta, as you said, our special guest on Mic Check this morning, his name is Hilton W. Dennis. He's a publisher and a former vice president of the Press Association of Jamaica. He has authored 6 books, including Jamaica College, A Sugar Cane Planter's Legacy, Howard Randolph Hamilton, PDQC, Born to Defend, The Fittest Man in Industry, Derek A. Gibson, Success is My Only Sickness, Walter Grant. And he has served as honorary executive member of the Missionary Church Association of Jamaica National Men's Fellowship, and was a writer, presenter, RJR 94 FM, Look at Life Weekly, Christian Brethren Assembly's religious broadcast. He's a distinguished career editor, journalist, and is the founding CEO of the Jamaica Press Institute. He was appointed executive director of the Press Association of Jamaica and was a representative of the Press Association to the National UNESCO Man and the Biosphere Committee. He served as the national editor-in-chief of Business Suite and Wealth magazine and as weekly opinion commentator, writer of the Sunday Gleaner. He's a broadcaster, co-hosting the Drive Time morning and evening radio show, Third and Power 106 FM in Kingston, Jamaica. So we welcome to Mic Check this morning, Mr. Hilton W. Dennis.
Good morning, Mr. Dennis. How are you this Saturday morning?
Oh, my, good morning. What an introduction. I don't even remember some of those things. Thank you for having me. My pleasure to be here.
It is our pleasure to have you here on Groovin' Radio, Mr. Dennis. And yes, you may have to get some ginkgo to remember some of those things, because at times, you know, Hilton, I wonder, when we look at some of these bios, we wonder if we're talking about one individual.
Oh, boy.
Yes, man. Yeah, man. Emancipated in 1838, a deal with Great Britain in 1962. Let's take a brief look at Jamaica 60 years later. And my first question to you in terms of governance, is Jamaica really an independent country, Hilton?
Okay, well, I'm going to start you off with the absolute no as an answer. Absolute no. Absolutely no.
What kind of governance have we seen in Jamaica over the last 60 years as Jamaica approached its Diamond Jubilee? What kind of government have we had in Jamaica for the last 60 years?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this, as you are doing now, for quite some time. I refer to the government as a proxy government. And you know what a proxy is. Okay? Because if you are going to be independent... you know, this is something that you have indicated to the power that ruled you, that, okay, we want to go our separate way. Then you would have written your constitution, which was done, a draft was done, and presented, right? Jamaica was then a colony of Britain, of Great Britain. It had already been enjoying some amount of self-government from 1944, you know, just as the same way Britain had an apprenticeship system before they went to full emancipation of the slaves.
Right.
So the government, Jamaica, we had a chief minister who was Sir Alexander Bustamante in 1944. And then we had Norman Manley, his cousin, ironically, two cousins, who was the premier. From 1955 to the year of so-called independence in 1962. Okay, so that we were supposed to be fully prepared to go our own way. But what happened is we presented a draft constitution. We should have drafted it ourselves, so that was appropriately done. And it was amended.
Right.
Right. And what was finally handed to the leaders who went to London, right, for the separation to be effected, was a document called an order in council, an order of the British Parliament, you know, so they debated on it, what should be the terms of separation, rather than to say, okay, you know, you are going your separate way. And Britain had tried to hold on to colonies like Jamaica through a federation, a West Indies federation, and that never lasted very long, you know, because they never genuinely wanted to let go of these colonies because of the benefits that were derived.
Right.
You know, they still have Cayman Islands and the British Virgin Islands, you know, so they never wanted to release the colonies, and they tried at first to administer them through a federation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And these were all arrangements that were made in collusion with leaders of these Caribbean countries that were colonies of Britain, right? So at all times, what was being told to the people was not the truth, was not accurate.
Right.
The people were being given a sense of separation and independence, so which is why we come 60 years later today to be hearing about we're going to go republic.
Right.
You know, we're going to go republic. Why would we need to be saying this to the people if we had spoken the truth?
Right.
In 1962, about gaining independence. That's the problem.
You know, Anthony, so much, we have spoken so much about this over the years, and for folks who listen to us and hear us talk about these things, we just want to get the truth out there. We have a proxy government, folks, and because the fact that we did not fight, there was no fight for our independence. Just be mindful of that.
Correct.
And when we look at the constitution that we have, today's constitution that we have, it is said it was just handed down from Buckingham Palace. Yes, you hear talk about amendments being made to the constitution. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again this morning, that based on how, when we look at our national heroes in Jamaica, there are two people in Jamaica who sits amongst Garvey and Bogle and Nanny, who I think should not have been national hero, is Sir Alexander Bustamante and Norman Washington Manley. Because
you're absolutely correct.
Right. And I want you to expound on that a little bit, because, I mean, what did they really do to gain national hero status? What did they do?
Okay, so what is attributed to them is exactly this constitution that is not a constitution. They have been called the fathers of the nation, right? Ostensibly because they drafted the independence constitution, they presented it and they got it approved, but no such thing occurred, right? And as I'm saying, these are two cousins. Both of them are associated with the two political parties that have governed the island over the 60 years, all right? And it is difficult for a third party to coexist with those two parties because of this arrangement that was made, right? Something that's entrenched in the document. And there are other things that are of concern that would tell you, right? For example, and I don't know if I'm going ahead of you because you have your question set, so I don't want to go ahead of you.
Go ahead.
The matter with the Maroons, and then you also have this matter of nationality. If you, as a Jamaican, go and accept citizenship from a country outside of the British Commonwealth,
right?
Okay. Let's say the United States. United States was a former colony of Britain, but the United States got its independence. As you said, you fight for your independence.
Right.
Because when you declare independence, that's something that whatever the resistance is, you are going to meet it. Okay? Haiti, the United States, those countries, the Latin American countries, if you look at their constitutions, it's different. So you go out as a Jamaican-born national and accept U.S. citizenship. You cannot come back to Jamaica and claim, you know, your voting rights. You cannot come back and sit in the House of Parliament or, you know, be a minister of the government. because you have a nationality that is not in the British Commonwealth, but somebody from way down under Australia, Africa, not South Africa, Australia.
Right.
Think of any other British Commonwealth country, right? Can come to Jamaica, and after being there, residing there for 2 years, become the prime minister. Totally alien to the country, totally alien to the culture.
Right.
But that is written in the constitution. Now, you tell me if we were independent, if that could be imposed on us.
Mm-hmm.
The Maroons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who were brought to Jamaica just like any other African ancestor we claim.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They came during the time of Spanish occupation. The British fought the Spanish and won the control of the country in 1655.
Mm-hmm.
The Maroons had been promised their freedom by the Spanish if they fought alongside them.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish lost. So the British attempted to re-enslave the Maroons. So they were slaves when they came.
Yes.
They weren't free people.
Right.
And the British said, blacks in common, we're going to re-enslave you. And they had to fight. Now, that is the kind of fight that you put up for independence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the irony is?
Mm-hmm.
The Maroons were winning.
Yes.
Right? The Maroons were a nuisance to the British. The British could not establish plantation society successfully if the Maroons had persisted.
Mm-hmm.
And having that advantage, instead of pressing it, right,
mm-hmm.
for the African people, right,
mm-hmm.
like the people of Haiti did, despite what was done to them, right, afterwards, in terms of them having to pay reparations to France and so on.
Right.
Having, instead of pressing that advantage, the Maroons signed these treaties, right,
mm-hmm.
that required them to allow the British to establish slave plantation society in Jamaica. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when the slaves ran away and sought safety in the mountains that the Maroons controlled, they would capture them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do horrible things to them or return them to the plantations that they ran away from for a bounty.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and in return, they would get, you know, the land that they occupied and so on. They would be left unmolested. On these properties, right? And now that we say we are an independent country,
mm-hmm.
what we should have done in 1962 is to say everything that's related to the colonial power goes with the colonial power. The colonial power does not dictate to us
mm-hmm.
how we establish independent society. The colonial power does not impose on us any arrangement that it had prior to us being granted our independence. Instead of that happening, right,
mm-hmm.
we would have ostensibly accepted any arrangement, right, that
mm-hmm.
was made by the colonial power. So we don't have the leg to stand on. The Maroons are now suing because the Prime Minister, Andrew Holness, has said to them that there's only one sovereign country. He's wrong.
Right.
Right? Because
right.
of the acceptance of that. Also, they are suing they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
If all right.
win the game to their lands, and then you have to turn around
right.
and bring an action against the People's National Party, the Jamaica Labour Party,
right.
for governing under a false constitution, in other words, constitutional fraud.
Right. Oh. All right, Ilton, when we come back after the break, Anthony, when we come back after the break, one second, when we come back after the break, we're going to pick up with the Maroon, because I want to play what the Prime Minister said. Anthony, put your question in.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave, but the only question I want to ask you, Hilton, is
yes.
you already stated that Jamaica is not independent today. So the question is, was it by design or coincidence that the forefathers, you know, when they drafted the Constitution or they used a draft that was provided to them, was it because they didn't want to make a clean break because of perceived benefits of still having an alignment to England?
Okay, Mr. Hilton, you're going
to... You come back?
Yes, we're going to take the answer when we come back, because the computers take over in about 40 seconds, so you won't have enough time to answer. Is it by design? And Anthony, I hope you could stay 2 more minutes with us. Is it by design the way they drafted those paperwork? Because everything colonial... is still looming and hanging over Jamaica. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Grooving Radio. My name is Ras Clem. We are in our featured segment, Mic Check. Our guest is Mr. Hilton Dennis. We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay where you are, folks. That is exactly right, ladies and gentlemen, as I welcome you back to the Grooving Radio Experience, our final 26 minutes. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. Our very special guest this Saturday morning, there's some noise in the background there. Our very special guest this Saturday morning is Mr. Hilton Dennis, former executive director of the Press Association in Jamaica. Our conversation this morning, emancipated in 1838, a deal with Great Britain in 1962 that some call independence. 60 years later, the government of Jamaica and its democracy. Anthony Turner, you still there?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back, Mr. Dennis. Before we took the break, Anthony asked a question. But Anthony, I'm going to ask you, for those who didn't hear the question, to ask the question again. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, well, Hilton already declared that Jamaica is not an independent nation. So I'm saying the forefathers who drafted the Constitution or used a draft copy that was presented to them, did they sign this document? Was it by coincidence or design? Because we felt that, or they felt that, you know, there was some benefits to the rights having some association with Britain.
One second, Mr. Dennis, there's some noise in your background. I'm not sure what is on.
Okay, the challenge I have is where you caught me.
Okay. Yeah, man, go ahead. Go.
Work with it, you know.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
Okay, so you resuming the segment, you use the right word, all right? Mm. A deal, not a decision.
Yes.
A deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what a deal is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? One would sense there was some negotiation in it, but there wasn't, because if it is something that had to be passed by the British Parliament,
right,
which means they had the privilege of debating the draft, and they had the privilege of amending it, and settling on, which is what parliaments do, right?
Right,
and
right,
settling on the final document. That document was presented to these two cousins who are called fathers of the nation. And they came back to the people with it. So it wasn't a decision that we made independently to reconstitute. That's what a constitution is. You know? The constitution is the structure of the nation, of the government, right? All laws that are made subsequently must conform to your constitution. Your constitution is your supreme law or the framework of your laws. So it was a deal, not a decision, not an independent decision. And then the question that Anthony asked is, was this done intentionally? Well, certainly. Those two cousins always believed, if you remember, if you go back to the insurrection, they want to call it, with Paul Bogle and his band of rebels, and all that had been put down by Governor Eyre, right? And that was the genesis of what became the Jamaica Constabulary Force.
Yes.
You know that runes are the foundation recruits of the Jamaica Constabulary Force. The same maroons who were instrumental in the capture of Bogle and his men, right? And Bogle was hanged, and William Gordon, another hero, was hanged. The maroons were instrumental in their capture.
Right?
And that happened after emancipation. Long after emancipation. And the same spirit of Governor Eyre and the administration, the colonial administration, resided in Alexander Bustamante and his cousin Norman Manley, that they needed the protection of the British, you know, to be perpetuated into independence. And so they would accept this arrangement, right, which would allow the British to come in, right, if there was any uprising in it, because they had issues with the Rastafarians subsequently. They treated the Rastafarians, you know, about Coral Gardens and all of
that.
Because they felt threatened by them. And for a long time, the army, the police force, the major civil service institutions were headed by expatriates.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay?
Definitely.
And it was difficult for someone, you know, of color to get into the leadership ranks.
Now, let me say this, and the fact that you mentioned this, Mr. Dennis, I say this all the time, and for those who don't believe me, that the Jamaica Constabulary Force only came online after the Morant Bay Rebellion.
Now, that's correct. That's when it was formed. Immediately aftermath, it was felt there needed to be that force.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
To supplement the army. And, you know, because armies aren't trained for policing.
And the next thing is that folks need to understand, up until 1974, the Jamaica Constabulary Force was headed by someone out of Scotland Yard. Up until 1974, Jamaica had a British at the head of the army and also at the head of the Jamaica Constabulary Force. Now that we're on the Maroons, the Prime Minister was asked a question sometime last year in Jamaica. Here's the question, and here's the Prime Minister answer to the question regarding the Maroons.
Did the government seek legal advice on its decision to disengage with so-called sovereign Maroons, and would the government not be derelict in refusing to finance projects in any such territories? And a companion question is whether the government finds it embarrassing that it seems that different arms of the state, that's the police and ODPEM, as we found out, gave approval to the hosting of the Maroon celebrations.
Your question is based on a very dangerous premise. And I said earlier that there are some threats that the average citizen looking on might think it is innocuous, it is popular, and take a liking to it. Because the discussions that are held in places that should know better does not highlight the threat. Jamaica is a unitary sovereign state. There is no other sovereign authority in Jamaica other than the government of Jamaica. I want that to be absolutely clear. None. And under my leadership, not one inch of Jamaica will come under any other sovereign authority. What you are asking would be another for the government of Jamaica to fund, take taxpayers' money and grant funds to fund another government. This is not a government saying they are a local government, a parish council government, which is under our constitution. Are you crazy? Really? Do you know what you're asking? This is the stuff of how guerrilla wars come and states break down. Wake up, Jamaica. Don't court foolishness and problems. Wake up. People have died as a result. And you expect me to stand here as Prime Minister and fund activities that could lead to the breakdown of our state? Never. Thank you.
Well, we do expect you, Mr. Prime Minister, to fund activities. Yes. For sovereign people like the Maroons in Jamaica. Before you answer anything, Mr. Dennis, let me be clear, Jamaica. Jamaica just took $100,000 to fund the run for Kamina Johnson-Smith for General Secretary at Commonwealth. Jamaica just spent $54,000 to entertain the royal family in Jamaica. Where did those monies come from, Mr. Prime Minister? You talk about taxpayers' money to be spent on the Maroon celebration that has been happening for years. Your thoughts on that question and answer, Mr. Dennis?
All right, so the Prime Minister is coming to terms with the reality of the deception that was committed against the Jamaican people in 1962 by the founders. What they are is really founding fathers of the Jamaica Labour Party and the People's National Party, not of a nation. So he's coming to terms with the deception, and it is very agitating for him. But the reality is that that is what it is, right? He's making a declaration that is not constitutionally sound. because if he had the constitutional grounding for that declaration, he would have a need to be agitated.
Mm-hmm.
The country has spent decades romanticizing the Maroons, right, who are traitors. They are guilty of treason against their kith and kin, and the decades of romanticizing them as history and culture,
mm-hmm.
right, and presenting a false narrative about their contribution
mm-hmm.
to Jamaica's place in history, you know, has come back to haunt the government
mm-hmm.
and is a very disturbing fact that the people of Jamaica have to deal with. All right, and everything else that you mentioned about funding campaign for Commonwealth election and all of that is grounded in that deception,
mm-hmm.
that haunting deception.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't have a problem if I was the Prime Minister and the Maroons were, you know, upping the ante about sovereignty. I would play their game with them because all they're doing is playing a game. And the people are coming also into a knowledge of the truth. So I would say, okay, you're a sovereign territories inside the country. Okay, so you have borders now, right? You have Jamaican birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to convert those,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Jamaican passports, Jamaican national document. You're going to have to create your own. But you're going to have to negotiate your way out of those territories across the borders that you are delineating or defining,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't have any airport, you don't have any seaport, you don't have anything like that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You are in a problem, okay? Mm-hmm. We respect your sovereignty, but we also, our borders must also be respected, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would, basically, they're locking themselves in, they're boxing themselves in.
Now the question is, though,
I don't know that the British government had any responsibility mm-hmm. to fund them beyond paying them the bounties that they were paid.
Right.
I don't know if they had any responsibility to give them any money or anything like that.
Right.
To run their administration, mm-hmm. they're supposed to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of approaching it. But the other way is we are an independent, the Prime Minister says, unitary state.
Right.
So therefore, if you're going to be difficult, we're going to take possession of the land by force. That's another approach.
Mm-hmm.
So I can respect your boundaries, but you respect ours, and you're going to have a problem crossing over into our territory.
Mm-hmm.
Once we say whoever is a Maroon must be confined to Maroon territory, or if I don't do that, I'm going to take possession of the territory by force to establish the fact that we are a unitary state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Couldn't this have been rectified in that deal in 1962?
Hmm? But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We should not have had imposed on us any arrangement made by the colonial power.
Yeah.
We're going independent, everything becomes null and void.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I hear the Maroons describing themselves as indigenous people. Mm-hmm. So what up to the indigenous people who Christopher Columbus came and found and the Spaniards related to, called the Arawaks and the Tainos, they were called subsequently, or Amerindians in a more general sense. What up to those people
mm-hmm.
and their survivors?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they signed treaties or not, these are the people who are called indigenous people in terms of the United Nations definition.
Right.
These are the people who would have claims. They didn't need treaties to have those claims.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
The Maroon Treaty was a treaty of treason.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
A corrupt deal that was made between them and the British colonial powers, and it related to plantation slavery society.
Right.
The preservation of plantation slavery society.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And mm-hmm. they existed alongside the planters or the plantation society administration. The Maroons existed as a kind of military third force or second force.
Right.
To subdue the uprising of the slaves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that is what the deal was about.
No.
So how does it become imposed on us now as something that should be glorified in and glorified for? We have mistakenly romanticized them, and these myths about Nanny of the Maroons and making her a hero, well, she probably never existed, and they might be upset about that, and you know, whatever, but the fact is history has also been you know, misrepresents it.
So we have been living 60 years of lies since Jamaica struck that deal. As Jamaica approaches its so-called 60th Diamond Jubilee, as Jamaica approaches this date, August 6th, 2022, and we're looking at democracy being challenged not only here in the United States, we look at what's taking place in the Ukraine. What are the most pressing issues, do you think, is facing Jamaica today, Hilton Dennis?
The first and foremost issue is to complete our ascension to sovereignty. Right, which means to establish the country as a truly sovereign, independent nation. I don't know about republic, they're using that term loosely, right? One of the things I've said to them is that the greatest symbol of separation, total separation, is to build the new parliament on King's House land, where the King's House residence now sits. Build a new parliament there next to Jamaica House, which is the headquarters of government. Not in Hero Circle, as they contemplated doing. Hero Circle was named after a former British sovereign during the colonial period, a King George, right? So I would build the parliament on King's House, so there'd be no more King's House, right, for any head of state, right? Whether the head of state is, you know, figurehead or whatever. And next to King's House is Jamaica House, right? So next to the parliament is Jamaica House. That would be the greatest symbol. So in our 60th year, we would be resolute about completing our sovereignty, right? That to me would be the most pressing things. After that, you have to fix the laws, right? That we have inherited and retained a lot of the laws from the colonial period, some revised, you know, in a very limited way, okay? For the convenience of the political system that has been created, which is a system of tribalism, right? A system that has to be maintained by hostility of people and communities towards each other, right? By legalizing things like squatting, right? To create buffer zones that make political seats safe, right? So that institutions, like the University of the West Indies, has lost valuable land which it needs to expand the university hospital, the training hospital for its medical students, the hospital to care for the largely expanded population. It cannot reclaim its Mona Commons land. We talk about reparation for slavery. If we ever succeeded in that, we need to take that money and we need to restore a lot of the communities that have been blighted for this political convenience, right? Of garrison and safe seat preservation and so on. We need to restore these communities and restore civility to the country, right? The country has descended into near anarchy because the gunmen that have been part of the control system of the country, right? That the laws have been made with gaping holes, right? To keep out of prison, right? Those gunmen have overrun the country. They're no longer under the control of the politicians. The politicians, I'm pointing to other things that are responsible for the gun violence and so on, but the root, the genesis, the foundation of it is the political system.
All right. Well,
we need to fix that.
We only have about 3 more minutes. And real quick, you mentioned something very interesting, and we're going to have a conversation about that, because the Mona Commons land that you mentioned, that land is occupied by what we would say squatters. I don't see how we have such prime real estate right across from the University of the West Indies. Not only the college itself, but also the hospital. And we have this land being occupied by squatters. It means we have a squatters a problem in Jamaica.
Yeah, several significant areas. Yeah. The downtown market district, you see?
Yeah.
It was very pivotal to the commercial life of the country, because remember the vendors that come to Coronation Market come from all over the island, right? So the center of commerce there and the communities surrounding it, right, were once the communities in which the merchants lived, the Raytones, the Jonestown, you know, all of those were middle class communities.
Yes.
Right? And they were blighted for politics. But then you have the whole stretch of Red Hills Road, you have Constant Spring, every one of these areas, right? Garrisons have been intentionally, people's lands have been squatted on, right, with the complicity of the political leaders, right? So the whole commercial life of Red Hills Road is destroyed by Park Lane and 100 Lane, Constant Spring by Cassava Peace and so on, right? And it's not the people who live there that should be stigmatized. It is what the politicians have created them to be, right? And made society view them as, right? I saw a video clip the other day, well, just a day or two ago, of a woman in Grand Spen, right? Saying that they are decent people, not because we're murdering each other, right? And it was posted as a joke, a kind of bite of the week. So we're murdering each other, but we're decent people.
Sad. Hilton Dennis, you're going to have to come back. We're out of time. You're going to have to come back because I have another pressing question for you. And it's about how stable. I don't know if you can answer this in 60 seconds. How stable is Jamaica? Because it seems as if corruption is deep-rooted in governance. How stable is Jamaica? It seems as if corruption is deep-rooted in governance in Jamaica. 60 seconds.
It's not an unstable country. I say that now, Mike. I can assert it is not an unstable country. Right? But this is a country where the people need to be aware of certain things, be more aware of certain things, and assert what has been told to them is the power that they have. Right? Very stably, you know, because you notice when there are any protests or anything, it always ends up being the leaders of the two political parties that filter at the head of those protests.
Yes,
they are not part of the problem. It is never the people. The people's will is always emasculated or, you know, subdued in these protests, right?
Yes, sir.
And they create a lot of commissions of parliament to address injustices, and then they end up berating the leadership that they appoint to these commissions for being zealous about doing the work that they're supposed to do. So it's not an unstable country.
Well, right? Thank you.
It's a manipulated country, but it's not unstable.
Thank you very much, sir. The next time we talk, Mr. Hilton Dennis, I want to do a presentation on the squatter situation in Jamaica and homelessness in Jamaica. I thank you very much for sharing this morning as Jamaica approaches
its... I must commend you on your thorough research. I mean, just listening to you doing the introduction and so on. Not about me, but about the subject matter that we discussed today.
Thank you.
I was quite enthralled by your introduction.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dennis. We'll talk real soon, sir. Take care.
Okay. One love.
Anthony, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, no, quickly, about the whole situation with National Hero, because based on some of the assertions about Nanny, and we talk about Norman Manley and all of that, I think it would be interesting to talk specifically about National Heroes and some of the people who have even got national honors in the different classes.
Well, the next time Mr. Dennis come back, we can touch on that, because you know I am very, very much into that in terms of some of these folks who are given some national honors. We want to know what they really did to be awarded. So, Mr. Dennis...
So maybe it's the next time of the next time, because there are several matters that you have to address in terms of why the nation is the way that it is.
Yes.
The narrative that they have used, the academic conspirators to create.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yes,
and
man.
Get the people to believe
all
that
right.
they could be successful in each.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. We're out of time. Until next time. One love. Anthony, until next time, we'll talk, okay?
All right.
But ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our presentation this morning. Wait.